Paul lived in a world that, because it was filled with people, is much like our world. Last year we did a Bible study on Corinthians for the United Methodist Women. Little different Bible study than they expected me to do, because we looked at the culture. We looked at Corinth as a modern-day town. And it really was a lot like our towns and our cities. And it was a modern-day church with the same kind of issues that exist in the life of our church. And in this passage, Paul lets us know of his concern about the different groups and factions that exist in the life of the church. It existed then. It has probably always existed, and it exists now, where people gather together in groups, which is a natural human thing to do. But sometimes when we gather in groups and have allegiances, it pulls us apart as the people of God. We are called to an uncommon communion in Christ Jesus. I mean, today we'll celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. But I'm talking about an uncommon communion that represents. For Jesus calls us in to a relationship with one another that is uncommon. A relationship that the church has called the communion of the saints, where people who believe in Christ Jesus set aside their personal differences and recognize that it is only Christ Jesus that unites us as a people, as a church. It is Jesus who gave his life for us. It is Christ Jesus who made that ultimate sacrifice. It is Jesus who was resurrected from the dead and through that gave power to our lives to live a new life. Because Jesus overcame sin and death through his resurrection, he gives us the power to overcome sin that brings death into the world. And Paul was just so concerned when he got news that the Corinthian church was being pulled apart by various groups who had allegiances to various preachers and pastors. Unfortunately, in our denomination, when pastors move around as much as they do, in spite of the fact that church growth studies show that pastors should probably stick around for 8 to 10 years, we move on traditionally every 4 years, and most churches have a record of pastors moving more frequently than 4 years. We kind of set ourselves up as a denomination for the very problem that Paul is talking about in the Corinthian church. That our allegiances to pastors who have provided leadership, good leadership, loving leadership, that appeal to certain people, are sometimes hard to let go of when the next minister comes. And that's a human thing. Because no minister, no human being, even Paul was saying, I did not die on the cross for you. No human being can really embody the presence and the power of Jesus Christ the way Jesus did. All of us who step into the pulpit, who are ordained for ministry and set apart, know how frail we are to be called to this ministry, how imperfect we are to be asked to stand before a congregation on Sunday morning, how truly incapable we are of providing the top level of leadership that the Church of Jesus Christ, the very body of Christ, needs. So all of us, together with the minister, are to look to the cross. This is our hope. This is our unifying point of view. And yet in our day-to-day lives, it's so easy to bond to this person, to that group. You know, it happens in the workplace. We get together with those people who think like us and see like us, and we form a bond together. It happens at school. We find friends that seem to accept us, and we accept them, and we feel comfortable with this group because now we're going to bigger and bigger schools, and there are just so many people. You know, it's just kind of natural to gravitate to a smaller group and find comfort in that. We do that in our neighborhoods. You know, I don't think we do that as much as we used to, but those who have lived in this Lafayette Village area, and some of you who grew up here, probably remember a time when neighborhood groups got together. But even our communities are changing. So unless it's the old-timers who've lived there, we don't even do that much anymore. It's a human thing to gather together in groups that are smaller and make us feel more comfortable. But the problem comes not in meeting that human need in our lives. The problem comes when those group allegiances, those allegiances to former pastors, get in the way of our embracing this uncommon communion God calls us to share when we come together as church. As a matter of fact, church studies show that when we pass 125 people in worship, there is a more difficult challenge to relate even as a congregation. And we all know that there are greater than that 125. That's a human nature thing. But Jesus died on the cross that we might transcend that nature. That we can have those groups. We can have those ties. We can have our allegiances to other pastors and love them and appreciate them and rejoice in the things that were special about them that made them special to us. But when we come together as the body of Christ, we're called to not let that create division and dissension among us, because we're united by the cross. We're united by the grace of God that's manifested in every one of us. In reality, the grace of God is manifested in all humankind. John Wesley called that prevenient grace, the grace that goes before. That in every human being that has a conscience, the grace of God is there. And God uses that, if the person doesn't resist too strongly, to bring them closer and closer to God. And then they go through a process that Wesley called convincing grace. When they start listening to that voice, that grace of God, that undeserved love in them that draws them to something and someone bigger and greater than themselves, they become convinced that there's a loving God out there who can make a difference in their lives, who can break down the divisions that normally exist in our lives and cause separation among humankind and even separation in the church. And we can be invited into an uncommon communion with one another. Not because we're capable of that, but because by the grace of God, it's given to us in Christ Jesus. And in saving grace, and in sanctifying grace, that grace that would make us holy, that would transform us, it helps us to be a part of the communion of saints that goes all the way back to the days when Jesus walked through Galilee and Judea and Samaria and was in the embodiment of the good news. We are called into an uncommon communion, and yet have to resist the things that divide us. Paul was so disturbed at the Corinthian church, he says, "I'm just thankful I didn't baptize too many of you. I am ashamed of you. I'm ashamed at the way you're living, the way you're dividing the body of Christ." There's enough temptation out in the world to divide us from one another. Why are you doing that from within? And yet, brothers and sisters, I have to admit to you, I've never served a church as a pastor or attended church as a Christian where there were not groups and people in the church with divided loyalties planning dissension within the church because they couldn't let go of this idea or this person or that person. And that's a disgrace to our God, who calls us into an uncommon communion. That had a lot to do with me deciding we're going to have communion today, because St. Paul was calling us to something special. And John Wesley believed the grace of God is so powerful that it is manifest when we share communion. It becomes real in Holy Communion. Jesus says, I am there among you in a special way when you share the cup and the bread, that I can bring about a unity if you'll believe in the power of the grace of God, the undeserved grace of God flowing through me in those elements. I can quell those divisions among you. I can quell that temptation to criticize and divide and plant seeds of disunity in the life of the church. I can join you together in such a powerful way that you will be overwhelmed at what God can do if we'll just submit to that grace in this uncommon that can be ours. Today, when you come and receive the bread and the cup, pray for unity. Pray that God will not be ashamed of us as Paul was ashamed of the Corinthian church because of the groups and the cliques and the dissensions that kept them from being fully the body of Christ. We can't do it in our own power, brothers and sisters. We can't. There's just too much in us that gets pulled into those temptations. But by believing in the grace of God, a love that we never deserve, but is poured out for us, we can do and become what He has called us to be. I hope you come and receive this community with that, this communion with desire for genuine community. Desire to overcome those temptations to talk and to do the things that plants dissension among us, that we can be one in Christ Jesus and we can have a unified witness to the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Be a part of this uncommon communion. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we're weak. And it's just so easy for us to think back to times gone by and say, oh, I wish it were like this and I wish it were like that. He or she did it this way or he or she did it that way, and I like that better. But those preferences are not as important as the unity that we can find in Christ Jesus. Forgive our humanness. Especially, Father, forgive my humanness and my failings. For I know there are times that I do not always know how to lead your people to respond as you would have me respond. I struggle with that. And I believe your people gathered here have some of those same struggles, Father. Make us one. Draw us together in unity and mutual support, that there would be no divisions among us, that you would not be ashamed of our inward bickering and complaining, because we're too busy focusing on the good we can do because we've received the grace of Christ Jesus. And we live by that grace. And that grace is in all of us. May it abound in us, Father, that we might be one, that we might honor and glorify you through Christ our Lord. Amen.